How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Finally good to meet you.
First of all, I want you to know when you were born, because you said born some decades ago. Pride gain. You didn't say.
Well, I'm about 50 now.
You're about 50?
Yeah.
And where were you born then?
Okay, I was born in Delta State, Nigeria. So Delta State is the state where I'm from in Nigeria.
And what was the musical influence at that time when you were a young boy?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. You know, we have these fantastic folk musicians, or we call them traditional musicians, really, really brilliant music. So I was born into that influences. Well, they don't use the guitars, the pianos. It's just bottles, cowbells, and it's really groovy. And it's majorly improvisation. So they use the music to preserve history. Yeah, so that sort of gave me a whole lot of rhythmic perspective and early improvisational perspective as well.
And about the rhythmic, and about this influence your style?
Oh yes, it did. So in one of the songs, in one of my songs, Igunorogene, I try to copy that genre of music.
But put it on. I mean, modern instruments.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I have to try to. It was difficult to do that, or it was just.
It was natural.
It was natural.
Yeah, because it's like it's a language, mm-hmm. So it's just something that we grew up with.
Okay, so bass. You are a bass player.
Yes,
that's
I am.
That's. I would say that bass is a pillow of music where you put the music on.
The bass, actually, from a lot of the teachers I work with and my own experience, in modern music, the bass holds the harmony together and holds the groove together.
The structure.
Yes. Yeah, once the bass is gone.
Why did you choose bass?
Now, a little history to that. Now, I was in a church, it's called Christ Apostolic Church, and I was actually forced to learn music as a teenager. So when I went for the training the first day, they did a sort of like audition for us to play. So I went for guitar. So they told me to hold the guitar, the C chord, middle C. So I heard it and struck, nothing sounded. And they say, oh no, you don't have the brain for music, go, you know. So I say, okay. I went to keyboard. So it's complete already, we can't take you. I went to drums, they said no, it's complete. I went to bass, they said it's complete. I said, so what happens to me? And I happened to be the only person remaining because we were nine. So they took two, so I didn't have. And I said, okay, no, you can go. When these people learn, when they know how to play, they will teach you. So they drove me out from there. But I didn't go. I went to the window side. So since bass was the last place I went, I was just observing how they were teaching them the bass, when they were through. Later, I'll go and pick up the bass and practice. So that's I learned it by observation.
And so, now with the time, with your experience now, because it was an unexpected choice in many ways, but learning these instruments, working these instruments now, how do you consider this instrument? How do you feel it?
It's an extension of me. It's like, if you call me to say, okay, I want to give you instruments to choose, which instrument will you choose? I'll go for bass. And that's the only instrument I practice. I don't practice any other one.
Do you know there are a lot of bass players in Cameroon?
Yeah, with the master one himself, Richard Bonnard.
Etienne
Mbappé.
Etienne Mbappé, but long time ago there was first bass player was popular. He was playing with James Brown.
Vicky
Edimo. Vicky was doing flap.
Okay, Edimo.
The
sister is a promoter, right? Edimo, Louis Edimo.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know Louis.
Yeah.
You know Louis.
Yes.
But Vicky is one of the pioneer bass in Cameroon.
Okay, she used to tell me about.
And John Dikoto Mandenge.
Mandenge plays with Osi Bisa.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The 80s,
oh,
he
yeah.
Best player of Osi Bisa. And many. Francis Mbappe was Luis Manuel Vivanco.
Yeah.
Now he's living in New York.
Yes, we met him in New York. Yeah.
He was the music director of Manuel Vivanco.
Okay.
When he got 17 December.
He was 17 years old, and Manu Dibongo said, "You will be my musical director."
At 17?
I can't believe it, because it's impossible for him.
That's great.
Is there a tradition of bass players in Nigeria, like, for example, in Cameroon, or not?
Yeah, like double bass, you meant?
Double bass, yes.
Yeah. It's not a... Double bass is not very common. Mm. Yeah, so they use it in the Orthodox Church for... games and of course the classical music schools as well. Well, double bass is not a very common instrument. I play a bit of it, but I don't play it professionally.
So you choose jazz and you choose as well Christian music. I would say that you're the two poles of your destiny. Or can I say it? Why?
Okay. So is there really anything like Christian music? There's music Christians use to express their admiration. So,
okay.
So any genre of music can be used to express someone's spiritual devotion. And jazz, I feel music. So everywhere I go, I listen to every form of music and I feel the spirit of music. So jazz essentially is the self for me is the improvisational nature. I like improvisation. I like inventiveness, where you come if someone do pam to do pam pam da 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 pam pam ba 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 ba, you know, it happens. It's like it's sort of like humanity. It's organic. So otherwise, every music, once I feel it.
I want to talk about this, the Afro beboppers, because bebop, I love bebop.
Yeah.
You have the big beboppers like Charlie Parker, like Monk, like Dizzy Gillespie,
yeah.
But you brought your African touch in that style.
Yeah.
Can you tell me? Because okay. I love this.
Yeah, thank you. So for Afro beboppers, the idea that I conceive about it is, generally, our music in Nigeria, our traditional music, is written in 12/8. Yeah. And jazz itself, bebop itself, is most of the tunes are written in 12/8 feels. So it's about the same thing, but one is compound time and one is simple time. So I wanted to bring the phrases of bebop into our traditional music and in 12/8 strictly with the groove going. So when you hear that boom, 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 boom. And in the section A, at section B, then it goes, the rhythm changes to 5/1. So that's the... And any idea that comes to my mind, I try to experiment with it.
You even create a jazz festival in Lagos, in a scene, Nigerian scene, which is more pop, Afro-pop, or...
Azonto.
Like Lazonto, Davido, and all these artists, and we are very much interested, but we are interested in people who do something different.
Yeah. Okay, so I think about 22 years ago, I started doing a workshop, which I called the Bright Gain Jazz Workshop, so to teach jazz music. I mean, I grew up in jazz at that time. Because they were live band, the influences of Fela was very strong. But before Fela did the Afrobeat, he was with Fela and the Kola Lobitos, so they did some of those jazz things. But by the time I was a teenager, getting up to this age, everything, live music just went out.
Yes.
So the venues shut down. So once I came into jazz fully, I wanted to promote the music. So I started by teaching it to people. Then I was organizing some shows under the name Jazz Time. So it was a Jazz Mind Jazz Time that I created then. But it was taking a toll on me because I had to play elsewhere and organize so most times. So I'm tired, you know. So then somebody...
Is it difficult to organize a jazz festival in Lagos?
Extremely, because of funding.
Yes.
Yeah, funding. Sure. So it's difficult because of funding. So a friend of mine started the Lagos International Jazz Festival.
Yes.
So I supported him all through for a lot of years. It's still there, but funding is still a problem as well. Then this year, I started a new one called the Span International Jazz Day Festival to celebrate the International Jazz Day.
And this year, I attended a conference about the Jazz Day at UNESCO, and it was about women in jazz in Africa.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this conference? No. I've
heard about women in jazz, but...
Yes, because some girls, they complain. The jazz scene is difficult, but it's worse for women.
Yeah.
Are there jazz women in Nigeria?
Okay, so presently in Nigeria, any person who plays an instrument calls himself or herself a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I would say yes, but authentic knowledge of jazz for the women is not there, so require a lot of teaching. So in our school, we have women who attend, we try to teach them to play jazz.
Yes.
So...
Well, instrumentalists, because...
Yeah.
I mean, few women in Africa are instrumentalists.
Yes.
It's growing now, it's getting better.
Yeah.
But...
So I think there are more in South Africa than Nigeria.
Yes.
Women that play jazz music, yeah.
Yes.
Cape Town, the jazz is...
Oh, yes. there are a lot in Cape Town.
When I met Temi Piliso and African Jazz Pioneers, I was surprised that the saxophone player was a girl.
Yeah.
And it was the only one in the group, you know. It was 10 to 20 years ago. So
yeah.
It was
I think there's a South African artist that's under Blue Note Record now. We used to play together in South Africa, Ndoduso Makasini.
Okay.
I think one of the sax players that plays with him is a lady. So Nigeria, we have a lot of ladies that play instruments. Or we're trying to transit them for just playing instruments to playing jazz music.
Yes.
So
yes.
Most time they play smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good. You collaborate with Victor Masondo.
Yeah.
And I love that guy. I love his
sweet
music.
Sweet guy.
He has worked a lot. He did a lot of experiments.
Yeah.
Experiments in classical music, because we are interested in African classical music as well.
Yeah.
Masondo has worked with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about Victor, please.
Victor is a sweet soul, you know. And so when the first time I went to South Africa, I think that was about 13, 14 years ago. So I went to this jazz venue, Rockers.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's shut down now.
Okay.
Yeah, Rockers has shut down now. It was close to Melrose Arc.
Okay.
Yeah, it was close to Melrose.
Yes.
I think it was in Melrose.
Oh, yes.
So I played at a jam session.
Yes.
And Ondoduso Magathini, Carlo Mumbele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were all playing that day. So when I played there, Carlos saw me and said, you're a very good bass player. I need to introduce you to someone, Victor Masondo. I'm under his label. So Carlos' album was released under Victor Masondo's label. So he introduced me to Victor Masondo.
Yes.
Victor came to see me at the house where I was staying, and that's how we became friends.
Yes.
And
what does it bring you? This collaboration is different from a collaboration with other artists?
So with Victor, we've not recorded together, though we are. I'm bringing him, I'm starting a new band. It's sort of like a super band in Nigeria.
Yes.
It's called Afro 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so we want to be touring all over the world with that. So we're producing a new material. I'm going to South Africa in December to record a new material. So I'm bringing Victor to produce some of the songs.
Yes.
It's about the protest. Okay. And I've brought Victor's for jazz festivals in Nigeria and workshops.
Yes.
And I've also, he was part of the people I took to South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. Victor, I told Victor to organize like a workshop for the instructors in our school and students.
Work the Edson Opera House in New York. Can you tell me more about that?
Okay, so I was given a scholarship with Hudson Jazz Works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they take 8 people every year.
Yeah.
So from that interaction, the last day of our performance was at the Hudson Opera House. Did our performance. That was one of my songs. It's called Theban Legion. It's a bossa nova.
Okay.
Type of song,
okay,
because
yes.
I write compositions.
You are a composer.
Yes, I am.
I read hundreds of compositions.
Yes.
Amazing.
I have a tune book. I have 3 tune books of my compositions that I sell to students. So, I will send you some of them.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
yes,
I will send
please.
You e-copies of it.
How did you meet Nikki?
Okay, so I remember now. So there's a friend of mine, a Nigerian guitarist that lives in South Africa, Kunle Ayo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kunle Ayo was signed to Universal Record.
Yes.
So when I came into South Africa, I think I have the album that contained the Afrobeat Bopass and other stuff. So Kunle said, I introduced you to somebody at Kaya FM. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. So Kunle took me to Nikki, and honestly, I don't know. Nikki loves me and my music.
Yes.
Unconditional. She's a darling.
She's a wonderful person.
Oh, God, she yes. is.
One or two more questions, because I can't go through all your kids, and there are so many things. But I want to talk about this will to transmit, this will to educate and to music.
Yeah.
That's important for you.
Yes, yes. It's music education is very important to me, because from what I've seen with Nigeria, there's a lot of talented people in Nigeria, but music education is not there. You know, so I see people struggle to play an instrument well, and I'm looking at a global system in terms of mastery of instruments and of music, generally musical knowledge. I like doing comparison, because I'm very interested in my nation and the people from my nation. I look at South Africa, the level of music education in South Africa is very high, and in Nigeria it's not. So in Nigeria, it's people just struggle based on talent to just try to get things done, but they are not in that fine point.
Yes, that's what Buddy told me.
Yeah.
He said the problem is education.
Yes, it's that fine point. Somebody picks an instrument and you want to hear that tone, that techniques of execution, you know. So this is my great passion. That's why when the NGO called me, SPAN, to come and start the music school, I came back from South Africa then, because I used to stay in South Africa, and I just said, no, this is one of my passions. Apart from performing, I like to teach. I want to contribute my own quota to my country, so that maybe in 10, 20, 30 years, if someone says, well, I'm looking for a bass player, maybe it's in Paris, I need a good bass player. There are plenty in Nigeria. I need a sax player. I'll just go to Lagos, you find them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's not so. So we are working seriously to get them to play well. Here on there. So we get support, not much. Jimmy Abbasso sent me some books then. But not financial support, just teachers once in a while to come. And I'm grateful for the support.
Good. What do you think about the pioneers like Iti Mensah and so on, if you know Iti Mensah, like Sonny Okosos and so on?
Artistic authenticity. When I think of them, I think of artistic authenticity. You know, now art has been so commercialized that
Right.
To really see people who are authentic, it's rare. You know, so they bring artistic authenticity and they use their music to communicate values. Sonny Okosu communicated his value with his music. You know. And I'm telling the younger people to reconnect to these people, to get authenticity.
If you don't forget.
If you don't connect with them, you actually lose that authentic self in a fast-paced world. I started a music label with a friend of mine in New York. It's called Aphrodisiac Music Limited. We're creating a super band in the style of Fourplay. Well, this is an African quartet. It's called Afro Four. We're going to record, like I said, we're doing a record in South Africa in December. And we're recording the Africa Greats. It's called Africa Odyssey. So we're picking a song from Mira Makeba, rearranging Mira Makeba, Fela Kuti, Ebenezer Obey, Huma Sekela. Right now we're taking, and this guy too, the Zimbabwe great, that
Olivier Mutukudzi.
So we're taking some songs from there, even songs from Yusundu as well. So we're going to rearrange it.
And Salif Keita, you must say, no?
Yeah,
no?
Well, I'm not sure in this first, because we have different album, the first album, the Africa Odyssey one. And the next Africa Odyssey, so Salif Keita will come in and we'll go to North Africa and pick artists from there as well. Yeah, that's the project presently working on.
Now in the United States, they have a grand engouement for Afro jazz.
What I think, because the many people I've met, I mean, when I went to Jimmy Abbasso the first time, I did something from my tribe, and they were like, oh, you know? I mean, I told them to clap this. Then I split it.
Yes.
And they couldn't clap it. You know, so I think the exposure of authentic Africa art is lost out there. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I guess I think with the movie Wakanda, it sort of like ignited interest in things Africa. So it's not left for us as Africa. From my little research and experience, what is brought out as African stuff is like scratch.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Next time it's you.